On today's programme, we're going to examine attempts to end HIV/AIDS as a public health threat by the end of the decade. The AIDS pandemic is unarguably the worst health threat to have confronted the population in the modern era. We believe close to 100 million people have died of the disease so far since it first emerged in the early 1900s. It's proven an incredibly difficult nut to crack. When I first went to medical school in 1993, a patient with advanced AIDS and just weeks away from dying came to talk to us. Now, that rarely happens in first world countries these days, thanks to breakthrough scientific discoveries which have created a host of drugs which, when used in combination, can convert the disease into a chronic condition that one just lives with. Regrettably, many countries don't have access to these treatments and they can't afford them. So the emphasis is instead very much on preventing infection rather than trying to cure it. But so far, efforts to develop effective vaccines have failed. This year, in fact, another two vaccine candidates failed to make it through clinical trials. Thankfully, the availability of newer drug regimens, including PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, are helping us to turn the corner. This involves using anti-HIV drugs to protect vulnerable people from picking up the infection in the first place. And new, longer-acting forms are becoming available, and they are forming the backbone of an international strategy that's aiming to bring an end to new cases of HIV by as soon as 2030. One of the major frustrations holding back progress, though, is stigma, which is deterring people from getting tested and contributing to the persistence of the pandemic. I've been speaking to Hayward Dikibo, who caught HIV in Nigeria.
It's very scary back in Africa to be diagnosed with HIV. You most times are scared to tell anybody. You're scared of dying. You're scared of everything.
How did you know you had it?
There was a bit of sensitization as to HIV. And I had just left high school. And, you know, I just took myself out of fear to the hospital to run a test. And was asked to come back the next day. I initially was given a result that said I was positive, and only to find out that it wasn't my own result. I got like a kind of relief till I saw my result and it came out positive as well. So that was how I found out.
And how old would you have been at the time that that diagnosis was made?
I would have been just before my 17th birthday.
Was there anyone you could confide in? Friends, other people of sort of similar age, similar situation?
Because of the peculiarity of Nigeria at that time, where the culture of shame and discrimination was really high, still is, there was no one I could talk to. I couldn't even get like an accountability partner. I had to phone in an activist that was in the United Kingdom and to present his number for an accountability partner.
So you couldn't even tell your family, for example?
Oh my, that would have meant me, you know, going through another level of trauma.
So do you think then that this is seriously hampering people seeking testing? Because you were obviously quite forward-thinking and thought, well, I want to know. But there must be people who would think, confronted by those sorts of barriers and risks, they'd rather not know.
Oh, yes. This is actually poses a limitation, because you even find situations where the healthcare providers that are supposed to protect and respect confidentiality also play into stereotyping, discriminating and shaming people living with HIV.
Have you confided in your family since?
So many years ago, I did try to make it open to them and they made a joke out of it, not believing. But yes, since I moved to the UK, I have communicated, because I've only been the only person I've waited in, also counseling a couple of family members that, you know, found out that they were positive.
I was going to say, did anyone else in your family then come back to you and say, well, actually, I think I might be in the same boat?
Oh, yes. Some people not coming back to me. They found out and, you know, their stories came out and I had to encourage them and walk them through the walk.
Hayward Dikibo there, making a strong case for how discrimination and fear drive HIV diagnosis underground, which is inevitably hampering measures to try and control the epidemic, especially in Africa, where the burden of the disease is greatest. In fact, every minute that ticks past on this programme currently marks another two new infections, half of them in Africa. So this really matters. especially since UNAIDS have set that target of halting HIV transmission by 2030.